Dear friends, I am glad to speak to you and congratulate you that you are fortunate to have the man body which is the highest in all creation. All masters have spoken very highly about man body because it is the man body alone in which we can see and know God. Man is the oldest of all philosophies and religions. Man has got almost the same privileges from God. Born the same way, outer construction of the body is the same, two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, nose, etc. And inner construction is also the same. Each man has got stomach, lungs, brain, every morning, principality clears, all fills on the body. So great is man. All masters who came in the past said in their own times that this wonderful house of the man body we live in, it has about 9 apertures. With all these 9 apertures are 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, and other genital organs, we cannot run away out of it. Our breathing goes out, but cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing it back into the body. Surgeons perform operations, the old belly is cut, with all that operation lasts for hours together, but still we cannot run away out of the body. You find all masters who came, they have been speaking very highly about man's body. The Mohammedan scriptures tell us, when the bodies were set up, God ordered the angels to bow down before the man's body. Similarly, it is said in the Upanishads that whenever the bodies were set up, the souls of the rishis entered the man's body, considering it to be the highest in all creation. So it is the man body alone in which we can know God and in no other. That is why you'll find in the Bible too, it is said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The same thing is repeated in Corinthians, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of Holy Ghost, which is within you?" With all that, further they go to say, as the Spirit of God is supreme power, dwells in us, what are we but the Spirit of God? As we are the Spirit of God, then why search we for a so-called life principle? We are the Spirit of God, and as the Spirit of God is eternal, why think we that we can die and become extinct? So all ancient masters, whoever came in the past, taught that man is eternal in his own nature, in his own right, which stands on the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, in man's body. So greatness of man has been spoken of by all masters who came in the past. So all masters have come to the conclusion that there is a maker of the whole universe. It did not just come about by itself. The maker is unchangeable. But the world created is continually undergoing change. The reason why, so God is made of one substance, which is of all consciousness, and it is made of one substance where no question of decomposition arises. And the universe, which is made by matter, matter is made of elements, and elements are made of atoms, so there is a composition of atoms. The time will come when that decomposes or decentralizes. So that is why the universe that is made by God is changing all the time. So man is made after the image of God. He has got the man body, which is made of elements, elements are made of atoms. That's also composition of so many atoms. That is why it is changing. My body does not last long. Soul being of the same essence as that of God, being conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of life, well, that is also made of one substance. As such, the question of decomposition does not arise. So for these reasons you will find that all masters who came, that we are fortunate we have got the man body. So we are the indweller of the body. We see, we work, our bodies work when we are in the body, and we are also in the body until some controlling power is keeping us in the body. That very power is also controlling all creation. So we are in the body, so long as we are controlled in the body, and similarly the whole creation works under the control of God. So when that power is withdrawn from us, we have to leave the body. And when that very power leaves the universe, naturally the dissolution and grand dissolution sets in. So man is a wonderful house in which we live in. We are composed of body and intellect, and we are and soul bodies, our embodied soul. So you see we are developed physically and intellectually, very wonderfully. In the physical way we have just found so many systems to know by anatomy how the system of the man body works and how it is retarded, how diseases arise and how those can be avoided. So there are so many systems with us. The oldest is the Ayurveda, then comes the Yunani system and the allopathic, homeopathic, electronic treatments, naturopathy and so on. And intellect also. We have dwelt wonderfully in the way of intellect. We have just invented such like machines which we can hear voice from thousands of miles like radio. We can also now see who is speaking through television. We have just got such like instruments that we can go around the world in an hour or so. We are now trying to reach even. So we are developed physically as well as intellectually. But with all these advancements, we are not free. Because the true side, it is our own self, we have heard little or nothing about that. So we have to know, that is why all masters came in the past. We had the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So what is world? We say the world was materialized in the human form. And what is world? God is worldless, the absolute state of God. Then it came into being or into expression or into action, that power which came into expression or action is called by the word world. So in John we find, in the beginning was the world, world was with God, and world was God. And it was further said, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. Then again they said, forever, O Lord, Thy world is settled in heaven. Then again they say, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, upholding all things by the word of His power. So this God in action power, when it materialized and manifested in the human form of His Master Jesus, that was the true bread of life which by eating or drinking which you would have everlasting life. So, highest aim in the man body is to know God. To know God, we have to know our own self first, because God cannot be known by the intellect, by the outward faculties, and by mind. So unless we know ourselves, liberate ourselves from mind, and mind is just analyzed from the outward faculties, and outward faculties are stopped by going outside, until then we cannot know ourselves. You will know that we are souls, all souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outward faculties, and outward faculties are so engrossed in the outer player, so much so that they are identified with them, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So first step to know God would be to know ourselves first. So how to know ourselves first? We must withdraw our outgoing faculties from the outside. Then liberate our mind from the clutches of the outgoing faculties. And then analyze our own self from mind. You find soul is eternal. When it is combined with mind, it becomes the active member and comes and goes. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know God. That is why all Master says, please know yourself, who you are, what you are. If you ask a little child of 3 or 4 years who you are, he simply opens his eyes and opens his mouth. He feels something just within the face. But as he grows in years, he so much identifies with the outside things that he cannot differentiate himself. If you ask him who you are, he says, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Schmidt. And he goes further to say, I am a Christian, I am a Mohammedan, I am a Jew, and so on. And still further, he will say, I am an Indian, I am a Christian, I am American, or German, or French. So man goes out so far that he forgets his own very self and his soul and a man too. So first thing before us is to know ourselves, because it is the self alone that can know God. So all masters who came in the past, they gave out that mankind is the highest in all creation, and the highest purpose before us is to know God. Unless we know God, unless we know our own self, we cannot know God. So self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Now you'll find our souls are being controlled by that controlling power, which is also within us. The wise masters say, God resides in every heart. So, to know God, you'll have to just tap inside, as Emerson puts it. We will have to enter the temple of the man body, which is made by God. How to enter with him? This is a problem before us. If we can find somebody who knows the way, it is easier for us. So two brothers, soul and God, both reside in the temple of the man body, but pity it is that soul cannot speak to God or see God. Similarly, it is said, soul and God both are lying in the same bed, but our soul, being under the control of mind and outgoing faculties, it is engrossed in the outside things so much so that is awake from outside and quite asleep from within. and that God within is waiting for her when the soul is withdrawn from outside and looks within to find Him within. So if you to find God, what we will have to do? We will have to do just to enter the laboratory of a man body. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of a man body. In macrocosm there are three planes, physical, astral and causal. So God has given us three planes, physical body, also astral body and the causal body, so that we may be able to traverse whenever we like in those planes. But the pity it is, we do not know how to leave the physical body. At the time of death, we do leave the physical body, but at that time we can do little or nothing. Now is the time all masters say, you must learn to leave the body at will. What we do generally, we simply look, those people who really, after going on, they take to the reading of the scriptures. What are the scriptures? Scriptures are the final record of the teachings of the masters who came in the past. Whatever experiences they had with God and knowing Himself, those are the final records of the experiences they had. Those are now with us for our guidance. We are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past. Had we come before them, say 500 years back, we would not have had the scriptures of the Sikh gurus. About 1500 years back, had we come, we would not have the scriptures of the Mohammedans, the Al-Quran. Had you come before 2000 years, the Bible would not have been with us. So you go back, had you come before Zoroaster or the Buddha, you would not have their scriptures with us. So even how you are fortunate in this 20th century that you have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past. What do they say? By reading which they created us an interest to have the same experiences as they had with God. And what things helped them on the way, and what things stood in the way, how to remove them, and what miss and pleasure they had in finding God. So all scriptures are the final record of all that. By reading that we can create an interest in us to know very experience have in our own lives. But you will find in the scriptures Master gave out what they saw or experienced in their life. So we need now somebody who also has the same experience in life. If you want to understand them by the intellectual people who have had no experience of rising above body consciousness, of the experiences of the beyond, you cannot have the right import of them. So we can read scriptures, but to have the right import of all scriptures, we need somebody who has had the same experience in their own life. So intellectuals, why they differ? Because they do not know, they have not experienced same way as the old masters had. They simply say something as a matter of feeling, or matter of emotions arising out of feelings, or as a matter of drawing inferences to come to some conclusion, but really they are all something together. Seeing is above all, and seeing comes only to the soul. When soul is liberated from intellect, outgoing faculties, so it is purely a matter of self-analysis. So all masters and lords, they came, they said, please learn to die so that you may begin to live. This has been taught by almost all masters. Guru Nanak says, just learn to die 100 times a day while alive. Prophet Muhammad said, O man, you have got the man body, which is highest in all creation. Go learn to leave the body at will, transcend the senses, and have experience of God yourself. When the man out of curiosity asked him, will such a death will lead us to the grave? And Prophet said, no, it is not such a death that will lead you to the grave, but it will lead you from darkness to light. So, you find it impossible to die daily? Well, St. Paul said, I die daily. St. Plutarch tells us, the experience that the soul has at the time of death, while leaving the body, the same experience one has when he rises into the beyond and just introduced into the mysteries of the beyond. So this is what he meant by dying daily. By dying daily means just to withdraw our attention, which is the expression of our soul in man, in us, from outside. First withdraw from outside and enter within the laboratory of man's body. First thing, you see, from the burning rays of the sun, when you enter some house, you feel rest. Similarly, when you withdraw your attention from outside, just enter within the man's body, concentrate there, you feel rest and little desire. But that is also not sufficient. You have to rise above senses. You have to rise above the outward faculties. They are 5 in number. The faculty of sight works through the eyes. The faculty of the hearing works through the ears. The faculty of smell works through the nostril. The faculty of taste works through the tongue. And faculty of touch is worked through the skin. So there are 5 outgoing faculties working through the 5 organs of sense. So that our attention which is going out through these outgoing faculties into the world, if that is withdrawn from outside within, you feel rest. But that is not sufficient. You must learn to rise above the outgoing faculties. And they all end up to the level of the eyes. So you'll find at the time of death, soul is withdrawn from below, rising above, just our eyes are upturned, and lost drops in terms. The seat of the soul in the body is at the back of the eyes. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. If you go to some intellectual people, what do they say? Well, it is not actually leaving the body, but it is just forgetting your eyehood. So similarly, when you rise above body consciousness, what do you find? Life gave out, except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, who was the ruler of the place, came up to Christ and said, Lord, I am an old man, how can I enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And the Christ told him, flesh is born of the flesh, and spirit of the spirit. Flesh is born of the corruptible seed, and spirit is born of the incorruptible seed. Just to be born anew means rising above body consciousness, after learning how to leave the body at will. So this has been the teachings of the other masters also in other countries. They say man must be twice born. What do they do at the time? They had a regular custom for that. Children of 5, 6, 7 years old were made to sit and just to give an experience how to rise up above body consciousness, first birth it is in the flesh, and the second birth is into the beyond, above, rising above body consciousness. So these are the wordings of the masters that they have been given out from time to time, but the intellectuals do not give the right justice to the work, because they have had no experience of all these things. So similarly you find all masters, they say, God appears within the man body. If you just tap inside, that Emerson says, are you right above body consciousness, or you will be reborn, you enter the kingdom of God. So kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, by outward ways of knowing God, which form part of reading of scriptures and performing, say, rites and rituals, as well saying prayers. So each has its own scope. By reading scriptures, we create in us an interest to have the same experiences as the masters had in their life. Their scope ends there. Then performing the various rites and rituals and saying prayers go to develop in us love and devotion for God. So their scope ends there too. So love, on the wings of love we can fly it into the heavens. These are the preparation of the ground and the meant for higher purpose. The next step that we have to take is to be born anew. I learn to die so that we may begin to live. So all masters say like that. What will you find then? When that God who was worldless, when it came into being, there was vibrations, and there were two things manifest there. God is light and sound principle. You'll find God is called light. And God, voice of God, these two things, light and sound principle, we find when we just rise above body consciousness, are born into the beyond. So enter the kingdom of God is to just enter first within the laboratory of man body, then to rise above body consciousness, and there are planes and planes and so many planes. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. There's the astral plane, there's the causal plane, there's the super causal plane, and the spiritual planes. So soul rises into the world. Though it is very hard for those who are given up to the outward enjoyments, for that they have a pure heart. That's why people say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All other masters say the same thing. Buddha just said that the Eightfold Path, Buddha, is meant for the preparation of the ground. Sermon on the Mount also you find that he is the same thing. And all other masters also say it's the same thing. We must have pure purity of heart who would like to enter the kingdom of God. So therein you find manifestation of God in two aspects. One, you find light of God within, and the other, you hear the voice of God within. So light of God you see, you find in the scriptures, if you search the doors of the temple of the body, you see the light of heaven. Other masters say, when you are outward, outsider, outgoing faculties are withdrawn from outside and inverted within, you find the light there. You will also find further that I, the light of the body, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So how the two eyes can become single? It is a practical subject. This is only opens the inner eye, which when we just withdraw from outside and rise above body consciousness or the senses, that the eye is open. The single eye is within all. This is closed, you see, so far. Our inner ears are also sealed, as the scriptures tell us. Now there should be somebody who could break those seals and enable us to open the inner eye to see the light of God and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Even the blind men, though they have no outer eyes to see, they have also that single eye within them. So you'll find if that inner eye is opened, they also can see the light of God.
Good evening and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of the talk titled Master's Message to the Blind. Master gave the talk on 11th November 1963 in Louisville, Kentucky. Our reader this evening is Claire Stannard.
Hello, everyone. This talk by Master is called It is a Noble Search, published in the January 1971 issue of Satsandesh. And this is a continuation of last time I read. Non-power has two aspects, light and sound, the connection to which is given only by a God-realized man. It is the very water of life. You will remember when Jesus met the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. He asked her for water to drink. But knowing that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, she was reluctant to serve him. Christ observed that had she known who he was, she would have herself asked him for the living water. He told her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Another master says, "O man, continue to eat and drink on this earth, but your thirst will never be satisfied. If you get the true water of life, you will never thirst. All desires will be fulfilled." In the Upanishads, it is said that the answer lies within man. Withdraw your senses from without and get the connection from within. This work is important above all other. If you can do it by yourself, then by all means go ahead. The senses, mind, and intellect must be controlled and brought to stillness. Only then will the soul experience the realization. It is a subject of self-analysis, of rising above the body consciousness. If you think you can succeed alone, then well and good. But remember that with a single glance from a God-realized soul, thousands can be uplifted to this very level and put on the way. After all, the Holy Scriptures all praise the Masters. There must be some reason for this. The Satguru is a complete soul, a perfect soul, in whom God has manifested himself in fullness. He is so much at one with God that he is God's mouthpiece, and he is competent to connect the souls back to the source. Ice and steam are basically the same substance. So, when one serves the Master, one serves the Lord himself. By serving the Satguru, you get the Nam. Become a servant of the Lord. Serve the Satguru. Extend your destiny beyond description. Then the true Nam of God will vibrate through you. This is the result of service. The meaning of true service is to carry out the Master's orders with deep love and devotion, no matter what the orders may be. Whether he is physically near or far makes no difference. Only in this way can we realize what the words are endeavoring to convey. He became one with the Guru, then distributed the Shabd. The Lord appears through him in whom he has manifested. St. John tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Master has the same physical form as other men, but although he lives in the world, he remains aloof from its effects. He is in perfect control of all his faculties and can rise above the body at will, or he can work in the bodily senses at his own choice. We see his body on this earth, but his soul travels in all the spheres. Contrary to this, we are tied to the body and cannot rise above it. Therefore, only in his company and with his assistance can we have true realization. Yet while I utter these words, you will not have true conviction unless you see for yourselves. Ultimate God is nameless, is absolute, has not come into expression. We must become absorbed into that Godhead. No one can see that God, and no one can show him to another. But the non-power, or Shabd, came into expression and has two aspects, light and sound. God is light, and God is the music of the spheres. This very power makes the body of the child in the womb of the mother, and then takes up residence in the house which he himself made. If right understanding is developed in all men, there will be no strife, no killing or malice in the name of religion. This is true integration, true oneness. By simply sitting together in holy buildings, integration will not be achieved. Though it may be of some help, yet the doubt and antagonism for each other will not leave the heart. The religious leaders of different faiths do commune together for discussion, but this does not mean that all the followers are sitting together amicably. Toleration is there, but for how long will it last? I am simply placing before you the common sense of the matter. The Nam has an indescribable intoxication. Delightfully sweet is the beloved Nam. Also, Nanak is perpetually intoxicated with the holy Nam, day and night. Who gets it? Those who have merit from the distant past will get the gift of Nam to bring them near to God. Those children who God has decided are to return to him are connected to the Nam by the Satguru, and the Nam takes them back to whence it emanates. A Muslim fakir says, "You have sacrificed the true mosque for the outer one." The outer mosques and temples are for those whose inner eye is not opened to see the true light of God. He cannot be known through senses, mind, and intellect, or through pranic practices, i.e. practices involving the motor current in the body, but only by self-analysis. When we achieve self-knowledge, then the life sustainer will be met. The attachments will break, salvation will be given, and you will go home. You will be released from all ties, and living in this world, yet you will be free. The Surat Shabd carries you across the ocean of life. O Nanak, praised be the Nam. Like the lotus flower which lives with its leaves and roots submerged in the water, yet the blossom remains aloof on the surface. Like the waterfowl, whose wings are not affected by its swimming in the water, and when it wishes, it rises above in flight. So with the connection to Nam, one can live in the world free from harmful entanglements and can rise above the body at will. And this is made possible by giving sincere service to a Satguru and thereby getting realization of the truth. How can one experience coolness or heat just by repeating the words ice and fire? God is found in the form of light. In a certain branch of the Hindu religion, they light a small candle and place it in the hand of a dying man, believing that he should see the light before he goes. Others go to the holy river Ganges and light a flame in a small vessel made from leaves and float it on the river. They become very happy if the flame is not extinguished by the waves or the breeze. If it does go out, they light another and set that afloat. Dear friends, this world is the sea which we must swim across with the aid and support of God's inner light. It is really very clear and simple when one sees everything from the right angle of vision. And the definite indication that a master is true is when he lights that flame within another. There are those who see the light even before initiation. This is good and is reaction from the good karmas of past lives. But to progress farther into the beyond, correct guidance and protection is necessary. Most of the world's population is in the dark, not knowing whence they came, to where they are going, or what their purpose is on earth. Basically, all religions indicate that there is light and sound. I have mentioned that Lord Krishna spoke of it. The Muslim fakirs also referred to it. It has been termed the music of the spheres, truth clothed in light, and the unstruck fire. Buddha called it intrinsic hearing. The teaching remains the same, though man forgets it, but the masters come to revive the truth again and again, and give the right understanding of true integration. Some people want to know, what do we get out of this? Apart from the benefit of becoming detached while living in the world, we are told, unhappiness will not touch us. The illusion will be revealed as mind and matter. What a wonderful blessing! He who becomes one with the unchangeable permanence, life and death are the same to him. Someone is born, someone dies. He feels neither happiness nor misery. Such elevated existence comes through development of the inner being. You cannot start to dig a well on becoming thirsty, for you will die of thirst before reaching the water. The spring of the everlasting nectar of life comes through the inner contact. And to drink from the spring daily will render ineffective all the pinching consequences of worldly experiences. It is said, after meeting the Satguru, one knows. When is this? When attachments and outer effects are finished. Is it possible to be free from attachments while living in the body? If one is in full control of one's attention and can direct it at will, then it is possible. If one daily rises above the body and journeys into the upper regions, how will one remain attached to the world and its environments? Also, One will work in the world with a double zeal, without that clinging nature to hinder. There are three kinds of heat which burn within a man. One is adi-bhutak, connected with the physical body. Another is adi-devik, through the outer untoward happenings. The third is adi-atmik, and that is when one gets a higher contact within, and one is then no longer dragged around by the mind and senses. When death comes, one merely says, "Let's go." A true disciple is thus ready for the change. When your condition has become like this, then you will know that you have met the Satguru. The Guru abides in the physical form in all serenity. Though the Satguru dwells in the world, he watches the outer play and is unaffected by it. When Guru Amar Das Ji got Nam after 72 years of seeking, this was the result. In the Surat Shabd Yoga, no hypothesis is to be made, as in other yogas. It is the straight path back to God. Philosophy deals with theory only, but mysticism deals in contact with the reality direct. This is the very basis of the teachings of true masters. Oh, my mind, why are you so angry? You have true profit in the name of the Lord in the Iron Age. Be grateful that you have got something at last, even if it is after a long search. Only the power of the Nam can overcome the difficulties of this age. What is the essence of the Nam? It dwells in the heart by Guru Mat. Though it dwells in every heart, yet it is under the command of the Guru. This teaching is permanent, eternal. It is already within, the very sustainer of life itself, but within the command of the Guru Mat. There are two kinds of Guru Mat, one outer, like customs, rituals, mode of living, etc. And each religion has its own rules. The other is the teaching of the Guru. O Nanak, understand the Guru Mat, which will make you truly love him. It is to be in tune with the Nam, which is pervading all creation. The clue lies in the Guru's teachings, through which you will develop true love for God, wherever he has manifested himself. A small spark of fire can burn to ashes a huge pile of logs, and similarly, life upon life's sins can be burned away through a small spark of light from the Satguru. On the very first day of initiation, he manifests the radiance of Nam within the seeker, who should then take great care of it and value it. By repeating the Nam, the light of millions of suns will be seen. Also, in the darkness he came and lighted the lamp. You receive the very thing that the true master teaches, for the light is manifested in him, and he gives a spark of that light. The master placed a small share in my safekeeping. Guard that small share carefully. In the ages past, the master would keep the disciple at his feet until he had become ready to receive the precious gift. These days, which disciple has the patience and will to learn? So, on the very first day, the connection is given, and then it is up to the disciple what he makes of it. The value of Nam never can be estimated. Always remember this. Keep a watch over your whole life, each action, day by day, and through meditation increase your inner progress. The papilla, sparrowhawk, is crying in anguish. Guru Amar Das explains that the papilla's heart-rending cries liken to those of his own heart during his long search for the Lord. Just think of the condition of such a true seeker. No sleep for the eyes, no rest for the joints. He did not come and sent no message. How can such a person have peace unless he sees his beloved? There is just deep despair and yearning in his soul. On this subject, one poet has observed, "O mathematicians, you have calculated how long the day, the night, the year. How long is the night for that anguished heart which cries for its beloved? One cannot expect fruit on the tree when even the flowers have not yet formed. Whosoever got him did so with tears. Could he be got with laughter and joy, none would be without him. Through sobs which rack the body, one receives the Lord. The water from the eyes washes away the sins of many, many lives. The accounts are washed clean. Without seeing the beloved, sleep does not come. This separation has now become unbearable." When the seeker goes through this, he is often advised by others to cease the searching and desiring for God. But Guru Amar Das replied, "Do not utter such words, for even in this pain there is a sweetness." Then, after crying in vain for so long, the soul becomes both desperate and helpless, and she appeals to the masters. "O masters, you go to God daily. My voice cannot reach so far. Take this message and tell him, 'O Lord, she is pining with the separation from you. She does not know the road which leads to you, and her voice does not reach you, so she is sending this message. Please tell him that night and day she is crying with flowing tears and cannot exist anymore without the beloved. She cannot fly, for she has no wings and she does not know the way. How can she reach you? Please tell him my condition." A true seeker reaches this condition. "This cobra of separation has filled my mind and cannot be controlled by any mantra. The would-be lover cannot remain alive, for if he does, he will be in a baffled state of mind." We must all pass through this condition. Ramakrishna Paramahansa has said that if a man could remember God every second for 3 days perpetually, then quite definitely that would be his last day on earth. After all, he is residing within us, and if he sees that the child desires him so intently that it is writhing in agony, then what would a loving father do? He makes the arrangements that the child may come into contact with himself wherever he is manifested. A blind man cannot catch one with sight. He must be led. And what should be the attitude of a true seeker? He should have no trickery or scheming in his mind, no cunning speeches. He should be anxious to serve selflessly, have respect without pretense, and a real humility in his heart. Then the Guru himself will come. Without such sincere approach, there is no real access to God. Without seeing the Beloved, sleep does not come. Without the Nam, there is only misery. Desires are burned, but the hunger remains. When the Satguru came, he came without my effort. There is only one cure. In the lives of the saints, you will find many anecdotes illustrating this point. For instance, during the life of Lord Krishna, we find that certain of his disciples lived close to him, physically, and he once had to leave them for several months. They became very unhappy at the separation and sent him many messages about their tearful plight. So Lord Krishna sent his trusted disciple Udo, telling them to console the unhappy ones by comforting and enlightening words. So Udo lovingly explained that Lord Krishna was not far from them, but indeed closer than their very souls, and therefore there was really no separation and no cause for weeping. They listened to these words and many more in his effort to satisfy them, but finally they replied, "O Lord, the words you have uttered are all true, but kindly tell us this. The eyes that are dim with yearning to see the player of the flute, what cure have you got for that condition? Kindly repeat this question to Lord Krishna himself and get the cure from him." So there is no cure for such a pathetic state but the sight of the Lord himself. He says, "Without the Nam, there is only misery. When the Satguru came, he came without my effort." Nanak says, "O Nanak, the world is so unhappy. Some have physical suffering, some mental, some have poverty, etc. All are in misery of one kind or another. Only he is happy who is dependent on the Nam. Nam is the very bread and water of life. He whose soul is spiritually strong will easily carry around even a broken down old body. On the spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. Kabir Sahib says, I have not seen a single happy soul in this physical form. Whosoever I saw was unhappy. Tulsi Sahib says a similar thing. Everyone has some unhappiness or another. Is there any cure? They say that one who serves the Master is happy. Without the Nam, the fire of desire is daily consuming the people. Anyone can give empty words, but the connection and the direction, which in practice is the planting of such a seed of true desire, a sip of which will quench the thirst forever, only a true master can give. The masters have shown very clearly in the holy scriptures that after getting the non-power of the Lord, then nothing else is needed. Without great good fortune, you cannot get the Nam. I was so tired doing the outer practices. He did all the outer devotions, including the most difficult sadhanas practices. In fact, there was nothing he did not do in his efforts to realize God. The Vedas have mentioned Trigun, third stage. Three are mentioned in the Vedas, but on this path we have to go beyond these three, even beyond Brahmand. Brahmand controls Pind-and and Brahmand, the physical, astral, and causal regions. And as long as we do not transcend Trigun, the mind center does not break. The circle of mentality goes on revolving, and reading, writing, and thinking continues under the influence in which we live. Unless we surmount this level, the wheel of life goes on rotating, and so does our coming and going in earthly existence. The cure? Get connected with the Guru's teaching and receive salvation. Well, my time is up and I will stop there. It's not the end of the talk yet, so I will continue the end of it next time I read. This talk was called It is a Noble Search. It was published in the January 1971 issue of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Claire, for reading for us. Tonight's satsang was attended by 59 people. Thank you all for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
All that is out and from God. Sorry, pervades everywhere. It is the life principle of the entire creation. He in whom this world or now becomes personified or manifested is called a saint. For it is said that the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us.